This is VK6 Amateur Radio News with News West for Sunday the 21st of March 2021. I'm not sure how I should greet you this week, as in calendar terms it's been very busy. For starters, it's the John Moyle Field Day weekend, and depending on when you're listening to the news, the contest will either be drawing to a close or it's all over Red Rover and you'll collapse in a heap at home. How did it go? And then I'm not sure if I should have warned you about the Ides of March, sunk a Guinness in honour of St Patrick, or welcomed in the season of autumn. Yesterday, the 20th of March, was the vernal equinox, which marks the beginning of the spring season in the northern hemisphere and the autumn season in the southern hemisphere. Today we're delving into the annals of history of amateur radio, and we've been digging up amateur radio stories from 100 years ago, 1921. My father was 3 years old in 1921. We've also got news about what's going on in amateur radio in Western Australia, Roy's helpline, and there's more.
Jonathan Taylor, KR1RFD, has announced an updated version of Echolink. In an announcement on the 16th of March 2021, John said after a 14-year hiatus, we are pleased to announce that Echolink for Windows version 2.1 is now available. The latest features of the current version 2.1.108 include an updated main window look with dockable menu bar and selectable visual styles, a new Call CQ feature, also to be rolled out on a mobile app edition, including DTMF code to activate, migrated to a 16-bit audio to match all modern sound cards. This is a significant change to the audio chain that should result in noticeably better SNR and audio quality, better sizing and rendering on Windows large font and or DPI settings, added recent QSOs folder to the Explorer view, and the Explorer view is now the default, added search results folder for a find all search function, and an option to enable a continuous subaudible tone to keep Vox-driven devices keyed consistently throughout each transmission. Option to show timestamps for each message in text chat window. Revised help file and an extended maximum length of name field to 18 characters. One of the useful enhancements is calling CQ. There are thousands of Echolink nodes online around the world, but sometimes it can be hard to find another station seeking a QSO. Introduced in this new version of Echolink for Windows, the Call CQ function is a quick way to be matched up with another station also seeking an Echolink connection. Each node calling CQ chooses a set of preferences, such as language spoken and node type, and then automatically connects with any other node that is also calling CQ at the same time with matching preferences. If no such station is already waiting when you call CQ, Echolink will keep your call sign in the queue until a match is found. Call CQ can be invoked from the station menu. If you are running in SysOp mode, mobile and portable RF stations in range of your node can invoke Call CQ via a DTMF command. The default command is 27, which is the letters C and Q on the dial pad. Use the pound key to cancel. There are more enhancements, so head over to echolink.org to read all about them and to download the new version of Echolink.
Katanning Hamfeast is on again. Rob, VK6 Lima Delta, has announced that the next Katanning Hamfeast will be held on Wednesday, the 14th of April. That's about a month away. The start time is 12 p.m., that's 12 noon for lunch, at the Royal Exchange Hotel in Katanning, which is in Austral Terrace, opposite the railway station. The bar opens a bit earlier if you arrive early and are a bit thirsty. Driving long distances is thirsty work. The meals and desserts at this pub are very good, and the food and drinks are also very reasonably priced. For the menu, do a search for the Royal Exchange Katanning. The Royal Exchange are happy for Rob to collate meal pre-orders to ensure that they have sufficient supplies on hand, but they are also okay for meals to be ordered at the bar on the day. This year marks the 12th anniversary of the event, although we missed 2020 due to COVID-19. And as always, wives, husbands and partners are also very welcome to attend. We encourage carpooling, so how about getting a small group together and heading to Katanning? Please respondez s'il vous plaît, that's RSVP, to Rob via email by Thursday the 8th of April 2021, so Rob can confirm the booking with the hotel. Rob's email address is vk6ld@outlook.com.au. If you already have a name badge from a previous ham feast, please bring it with you. The next thing is to pass the word around to make sure everyone who wants to go gets to find out about it. Rob and the Southern Electronics Group look forward to seeing you there.
From the recorder, Port Pirie, South Australia, on Friday the 15th of July, 1921, comes this item headed, Amateur Radio Operators, New Conditions for Licences, Melbourne, Thursday. Owing to so many wireless telegraph operators who are amateurs being at work through Australia, the Postmaster General has found it necessary to issue a regulation that no licence shall be issued to any of them unless an undertaking is given that he will not divulge the contents of any message intercepted by him. That's the end of the article. I can't help but wonder if there are instances of amateurs breaking confidence. And was the propensity to break confidence confined only to those amateurs whose day job was telegraphy? Or perhaps we are seeing a bit of bureaucratic paranoia.
On HF, VHF and UHF, via the VK6 linked repeater network, and online, this is News West from VK6 ARN.
This history item comes from a letter to the editor of the West Australian, published on Tuesday, the 16th of August, 1921, Wireless in Schools. To the editor, Sir, as the recent installation of a wireless apparatus in a school in England is considered to be of sufficient importance to warrant the information being cabled across the world for publication in your issue of today, it should be of interest to your readers to know that at the Perth Boys' School in James Street, a wireless set with a radius of about 300 miles was installed some 8 years ago. The plant was dismantled by order of the military authorities at the beginning of the war, but selected members of the radio club were allowed to use special instruments for the detection of illegal stations and succeeded in locating about 30 of these during the first 6 months of the Great Struggle. Early last year, the club was reformed and the plant reassembled, but a Commonwealth regulation which prevents sending for instructional purposes kills the interest of the boys by restricting the work to theory and receiving, and we shall have to await the completion of negotiations now pending before the club can resume work on the pre-war basis. Yours, etc., Perth, August the 15th, Mr. T.C. Chandler.
From the Argus, Melbourne, Thursday the 15th of December 1921, is an article with the heading, Status of the Australian Amateur. One cannot but wonder, when he compares the conditions under which the wireless amateur of Australia works with the conditions of the amateur in Great Britain and America. The great grievance of the experimenter in Australia is the ban placed on transmission of messages, and, though he is given reasonable freedom so far as reception is concerned, yet the charge of £2 a year for a licence is too high. The licence fee in England is 10p a year for receiving, and no difficulty is experienced in obtaining permission to transmit, provided the power does not exceed 10 watts. This is sufficient to work over 50 miles if the continuous wave system is used. In America, no charge is made for the licence, and, though the number of commercial stations there is far greater than in Australia, the authorities grant permission to competent amateurs to use a power of 1,000 watts or nearly 1.5 horsepower. The policy of the Australian radio authorities has been to check amateur radio work. Amateurs say that the government would not grant them permission to use transmitting apparatus, and many would not pay the licence fee demanded. As a result, unlicensed stations have sprung up all over Melbourne, and as their whereabouts is not known to the authorities, surreptitious transmitting has been going on everywhere, and no care has been taken to prevent interference with commercial stations. On the other hand, the amateurs of America have achieved much. It is not uncommon for distances of 3,000 miles to be covered with the amateur transmitters in use, and an amateur wireless telephone station on the east coast of the United States has actually been heard in Scotland. Recently, a number of amateur operators in California have been commissioned to act in conjunction with the Aerial Forest Patrol Service, thus saving the government the expense of paying operators to work the 20 stations that have been erected for communication with the patrolling aeroplanes. No interference with commercial messages would be caused if transmitting permits were granted to competent amateurs who undertook to use continuous wave transmitters so tuned that the length of the emitted wave was less than 250 metres or greater than 1500 metres. This precludes the possibility of interference either with the government or the commercial stations. It is hoped that in the near future, an amendment of the existing regulations will make such a permit obtainable.
This rather fanciful article was in the World's News, Sunday, Saturday the 5th of November, 1921. The heading is Radio Waves and Mars. The question has often been raised as to whether it will ever be possible to communicate by wireless with the inhabitants of other planets. The wireless waves in the ether go on forever, so there will be no reason why people cannot communicate with other planets if the inhabitants have the proper receiving apparatus. Some of the planets, however, are so far away that electric waves travelling at 186 million miles per hour would take several thousand years to reach them. There is very little chance of these remote planets hearing the nightly radio concerts sent out from the wireless test station at the East Pittsburgh Works of the Westinghouse Electric and Manufacturing Company. They are now known to several thousand amateurs all over the United States, and having a wavelength of 330 meters are readily picked up. We did hear of a local amateur doing some calculations on radio signal strength from Mars. His maths was a bit awry, and he seemed bemused that another amateur seemed to know a lot about the topic. Be always mindful that amateurs share diverse backgrounds, and you never know who is listening. So don't let the Milky Way bar Mars. By the way, April the 1st is next week.
If it's not amateur radio, it's not amateur radio news. News West is dedicated to amateur radio for amateur radio operators. This is VK6 ARN, and I'm Bob VK6 POP.
This item was in the Argus, Melbourne, on Tuesday, the 13th of September 1921, in a column named Amateurs and Wireless, and a subheading Evasion of Restrictions. A few thoughtless fools are crueling the pitch for all of us. This was the verdict of an enthusiastic amateur wireless telegraphist when he read the statement of the Postmaster General that the persistent efforts of amateurs to send out messages were likely to result in the delicensing of all amateur transmitters. "There are a lot of us keen on experiments," the amateur wireless man continued, "and it will be a shame if a few men who won't abide by the rules spoil all our fun. We have no complaints against the Postmaster General's department. We have had a very good spin. It must be realised that it is far easier to establish a wireless station than it was before the war. Then one went in for masts, antennae, and all the paraphernalia of the aerial. Now one can literally run a wireless plant underneath the bed. What is the result? Men are butting in on the wireless service and disorganising the receipt of messages with their private calls. The radio branch of the Postmaster General's department has given us every facility. When a man has a wish to carry out experiments, they have not only given permission, but they have made sure that the stations listened in and helped the experiment, but we realize that every amateur's plant is a potential source of leakage, and it is only a fair thing to abide by their regulations. So far, they have licensed about 500 amateur wireless experimenters within the Commonwealth. Of these, from 150 to 200 reside within the metropolitan area of Melbourne. The Victorian branch of the Australian Wireless Institute has a transmitting permit. The majority of members are men who have rendered wireless service on transports during the war. Of the others granted, some have gone to educational centres such as Melbourne Grammar School, which had a licence before the war. One of the main things the department has to guard against is the establishment of stations close to the recognised centres. We are allowed a radius of 200 metres, and there are few obstacles placed in the way of a man who establishes a station near, say, Wodonga. But the department has to take care when stations are set up near their wireless centres. Otherwise, important messages are jammed. Permits have been granted to the university, to the Wireless Institute, and to various clubs. We amateurs realise that we have not the money to keep pace with the latest developments. I know that few of us are out of the genuine experiment. The majority are doing it for amusement alone. The men who are spoiling our show are those who have secret plants hidden away. I know of a case where a government operator was trying to pick up an important message and got, "Come over to tea and bring the wife," from a mysterious source. It is hard to give unlicensed operators away, but if we do not keep to our rules very strictly, we will find that we will be penalised for the sins of a few outsiders. Considerable complaint has been made that the general fee for a wireless licence is £2, whether the operator owns a complete set or a toy machine. Of the 500 licences granted within the Commonwealth, only a very few are transmitting permits, and it is felt that a differentiation should be made.
Rob VK6LD reported that there's been some recent work on the VK6RHF 10-metre FM repeater, with upgrades to the TX antenna and adding an all-star node to the system, which also doubles as the repeater controller for the site. The all-star node number is 47323. Did you get that? 47323. And the 10-metre repeater is connected periodically during weekdays to the VK6 all-star hub, Saturday mornings for F-TroopNet and Sunday morning for the WAG TechNet, and carries the Sunday news broadcasts at 9 a.m. and 7 p.m. This has been a long-term project by Tony, VK6TG and Rob. It's been on test for the past couple of weeks and appears to be working well. The VK6RHF 10-metre repeater output is 29.680 MHz and the input is 29.580 MHz with a 179.9 Hz CTCSS tone, and that's required to be able to operate the repeater. Signal and audio reports are welcome via the WAG mailing list or at the Sunday Morning Tech Net. Now, this one's for Wireless Institute members. All the rest of you, block your ears. Hopefully your ballot papers will arrive soon. The ballot papers are included in the Amateur Radio magazine, which should have gone into the post during the week. So when you unpack your magazine this month, please separate the election material before you thoughtfully discard the plastic wrapper. Believe me, it's happened. People have pulled out the magazine and thrown the rest in the bin. So give careful consideration to who you vote for. It's a bit of a decision to make. If you want to vote out the old and in the new, there may be other consequences such as VK3 dominance, although if you're happy with the VK3s who are running, then vote for them. There's also a cohort of amateurs who are running for election who are participating in the ARRLVE system. Would it be good or bad for the Wireless Institute to be dominated by VEs? It's a hard choice, and perhaps we'll all have to vote for whoever we think will serve best in a director role. But as I've already said, it's your vote, and it's up to you to decide how to exercise your vote wisely. Now, we found out via Facebook just the other day, I don't know why they didn't tell us so we could put it to air last week and tell you before it happened, but 10 members of the Northern Corridor Radio Group are now active on the Cocos Keeling Islands. between March the 16th and the 23rd, so there's still a couple of days to go. The team has been quite active on air. They plan to be active on 80 metres through to 10 metres and possibly 6 metres with two radios operating on FT8, CW and single sideband. The participants are Steve VK6SJ, Wayne VK6EH, Stu VK6SSB, Gerald VK6XI, Chris VK6LOL, Brian VK6BMA, Tim VK6EI, Alec VK6KCC, John VK6NU and Brian VK6MIT. You should still be able to get them on air, although when I last heard they were working a serious pile-up. Keep an eye on the DX clusters to see where they're working. Oh, I think I forgot to mention. The call sign, VK9 Charlie Echo. Did you get that? VK9CE.
A good way to encourage someone's entry into a hobby is to acknowledge their achievements. Next weekend, News West does just that when we take a look at new amateurs. We'll congratulate those who have newly earned call signs, be it their first time or upgrades and call sign changes. And on top of that, we'll present items to inform new hams and perhaps give you something to think about and ideas of what you could get up to. What was your experience as a new ham? How about telling your story of your entry into the hobby? We'd love to hear from you. If you're unsure how to go about it, shout out on newswest at vk6.net.
This is VK6ARN, and you're listening to News West.
Okay, folks, I think we need to sit down and have a little talk about this. I spend an inordinate amount of time every week writing content for News West, and I'm having to scrounge around and find out what you're doing to put your stuff up on the news. Now, I don't know if you want your stuff on the news or not, but, you know, we've just had probably a world-appreciated DX station operating out of Cocos Islands, and they didn't think about promoting it beforehand on News West or just using it as a general interest item. Other things have happened where people do interesting stuff. It may not even seem interesting to them, but usually whatever you do is interesting to other people. If you achieve something or going somewhere doing something, it's interesting. So for Pete's sake, folks, if you've got something planned or if you've done something that other people might even be mildly interested in, how about sending it in to us? It's your news service, it's not mine. You need to get that through your heads. It's your news service, not mine. This news service can't survive without input. Now, we do get input from people every now and again. It would make our job a lot easier here if you wrote your stuff up and recorded it yourself. That'd be absolutely amazing. Or at least send in something that the team members can read out on your behalf. And let's make the news truly representing Western Australian amateurs. Come on, folks. Line up and do it.
Good morning once again, VK6X-Ray Victor, with this week's helpline, the 21st of March 2021. And today I have the following for you. Looking for help, please, for Simon, VK6OMG. Good call. And he's looking for a disc cone antenna for his scanner. Has anyone got a disc cone antenna that they would like to discard and become a disc cone antenna on a scanner for VK6OMG? Simon, if you can help him, I'll give you a number. 0429912189. I'll say again, 0429912189. And he would love to hear from you if you can help him with that disc cone antenna. And the next item wanted is a Kenwood microphone, a Mike Charlie 35 Sierra microphone in good working condition with totally intact press-to-talk button. Oh, well, I hope they are press-to-talk and I hope it isn't totally intact. And you may contact VK6 November Tango Juliet Terry for that one. Terry is on email. I will give that to you. Tango, Echo, Romeo, Romeo, Yankee, Oscar, November, Echo, Bravo, Echo, Alpha, Romeo at gmail.com. Spells Terry, One Bear at gmail.com. Next, I have a pre-warning of a deceased estate, Tony, VK6 Papa Papa, his estate, part thereof. But this is just a pre-warning. I haven't got prices yet. We have a President Hontul Romeo 2510 11-meter CB transceiver, a Yaesu Sierra Papa 8 speaker with integral filter, a Yaesu FT920 HF 6-meter all-mode transceiver, an ICOM IC22S 2-meter transceiver, and a Kenwood Tango Sierra 680 Sierra 6-meter all-mode multi-band transceiver. There's also a Dick Smith Electronics Delta 3800 adjustable power supply, 30 amp power supply. There's an Ashi Mic Echo 2X VSWR meter, various miscellaneous items. And if you would like to get in touch with me on that one at this stage, I'll help you through with any items you want me to know. Until next week, 73 from Oi, VK6 X-Ray Victor. The Big Pond address is VK6 X-Ray Victor at bigpond.com. That's it for me. I'll get it right next week. Cheers.
Thanks for listening. Thanks to the studio team this week, Mike, VK6KMS, Roy, VK6XV, Jeff, VK6JEF, and I'm Bob, VK6POP, the News West producer. And my job's still up for grabs. Thanks to the broadcasters and callback collectors, and it's good to have Phil back on 160 metres. Next week we pay attention and direct our efforts towards newcomers to the hobby, and hopefully we'll have a bit of a John Moyle Field Day wrap. And that's your propagating lot. Please stick around for the callbacks. If the callbacks don't happen, you can register yours at vk6.net. Now get out there and welcome in the season of autumn by getting on air and making some noise.